As we get started in this series that we're doing in Luke, the investigative gospel, the message today is when God turns your life upside down. And in a few moments, a little while later, we'll get into Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. And you might remember that last week when we were talking, Elizabeth and Mary, they get together and there's blessedness and God is blessing people all over the place. And by your sharing today, God is blessing people here in our congregation and the things that are taking place. And God is good. All right. Thank you. God is good all the time. And his blessings are poured out on us all over the place. And I'm going to put a little plug in, mostly because some of you have heard about this. In Sunday school, we've been talking about character and how God has characters in the Bible. And we were talking about Nicodemus and how God took him in a process from having an open mind and stuff to where he actually became a believer. And so the thought was, why don't we share some of our own stories, our own testimonies? And today, Ziggy did. And for those of you who don't know Ziggy's story, I'm not telling you. But man, it is one powerful story. In the class, we were sitting there just not knowing what to do and the things he shared and the things that went on. So the Sunday school hour, a time of people sharing. We don't even know who it is. We just who's going to share today and people giving their testimony. And it's interesting to find out about people. So if you're not real busy and you want to, you can join us up there. But as we get into our series, did you all know, I know there's a football game today, but did you know that in 4 days, 2014 Winter Olympics begin in Sochi, Russia? And in 5 days, they have the opening ceremony. All the athletes from all over the world are going to gather in this little port town to compete in the Winter Olympics. Imagine all the time and the effort and the sacrifice that goes into preparing yourself to compete. Do you know why they do that? It's because the level of competition is so high. The challenge is so great. Athletes from all over gather. See, you have to be completely prepared physically, mentally, emotionally, if you want to compete in the Olympics. Now, go with me on a journey for a moment. Imagine this. This is how our Olympic Committee works. Every Olympics, right before the opening ceremony, the Olympic Committee gets together and they choose one person out of the general population. And they ask that person to compete in the Olympics with everybody else. Yeah, Karen's going, not. Imagine, is that just part of the program? No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how out of shape you are, no matter how unprepared you were, one person, they get a call from the Olympic Committee to join the team and compete with everybody else. Imagine this. Last week, your phone rings, and it's the Olympic Committee, and they say that they have chosen you. Out of all the people, you have been chosen, randomly chosen by the Olympic Committee to compete in the Olympics. Willa May, you're going. See, and what you do is you are now, the athletes are actually starting to converge. They started about 4 days ago. You are now supposed to get on a plane and fly all the way to Sochi, Russia to compete with all the other athletes. Imagine you put on your winter gear and you're going to compete in the half pipe. Maybe you put on skates and you're going to be a figure skater and stuff like that. Or try this one. You're in the biathlon where you ski as fast as you can and around this course, and then you have to stop and you have to do target shooting. And then you ski around some more, and then you have to do target shooting, and sometimes you lay down prone, sometimes you stand up, and you have to be able to slow your heart rate down enough so that the gun's not moving in order to hit your targets. Imagine you get the call and you get to go do that. Would you go? Yeah, would you go? I'm not even sure I would at that point. Or would you say something like, I can't go. I have to work. I'm not in shape. I would look awfully foolish skating around in those tights. I can't just get up and leave. I have things that are going on here. I'm too old. Why don't you just pick somebody else who's maybe a little bit more prepared? See, would you try to get out of going if you were suddenly asked by the Olympic Committee to go and compete in the Olympics? Well, fortunately for most of us, That is not how, I know the guys back over here going, oh, that'd be awesome, right? John's all ready to do the half pipe, right, John? He and James went out and they did it last weekend. Okay, they went up to the mountain and they did it, so he's all set. But see, that's not how our Olympic Committee works. But you know what? That is how God works. God picks people, regular, ordinary people, just like you and me. And he asks us to do things for him. And it doesn't matter if you have to work, if you're busy, or if you're too young, or if you're too old, if you're not ready. You see, there are times when God interrupts what you've got going on, what you're doing, and he says to you, I want you to do something for me. You see, that's what happened to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a regular, ordinary girl, probably in her middle teens. And if you remember, most scholars will say she was right around 15 years old, living in a small village. She was a peasant who believed in God. Nothing special. And then, one day, God told her, you are the one that will be the mother of the Messiah. I have chosen you. How Mary responded to that teaches us how each one of us can respond when God challenges us. When God turns our lives upside down and he asks us to do things for him. You see, Mary, she didn't go to a special school that trained women on how to be the mother of the Messiah, mother of the Son of God or anything. And Mary wasn't holy. She had sinned just like everybody else. See, the Bible portrays her as a regular, ordinary peasant girl who believed that someday a Messiah would come and take her sins away. And then God turns her life upside down and tells her that in 9 months she would be the mother of the Messiah. Now, I'm sure that was a shock to Mary. See, she wasn't part of the upper class of society. She had no experience on being a mother. See, this was going to be inconvenient for her. She was engaged, and this would cause a great deal of stress between her and Joseph, the man that she was betrothed to. Socially, this wouldn't look good either. See, an unwed Jewish teenager who is pregnant? Not real favorable in those days. I'm sure Mary was wondering to herself, why me? Have you ever thought that? Why me? See, what God did to Mary is similar to what God sometimes does to us. Sometimes God interrupts our lives and says, I've got something that I need for you to do. And then you say to yourself, why me? See, maybe God has done this in your personal life. He places a huge challenge in front of you. The challenge of taking care of an aging parent. Or the challenge of loving that difficult relative. Or the challenge of being the strong one in the family. And you're not quite ready for that challenge. But God says, I've chosen you. And you say to yourself, I'm not really ready for this. And God says, but I've chosen you. I know you have no training and it's very inconvenient and you're not ready for it right now, but I've chosen you. What would you do? But you know, God does that to churches as well. He has placed a huge challenge in front of us here at Richmond Community Church. The challenge of taking what we have, this good news, the gospel, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, beyond these walls. And we say, but we're just a small congregation. We don't have any money. We don't really know how to do it. Will we listen? Will we go? And see, when God presented Mary with the challenge, how did Mary respond? For the answer to that, you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 51, and we can see her response in the words of her song. It's called the Magnificat. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Tim's going to put them up here for us. And it reads like this. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And then it concludes with kind of a parenthetical statement there. It says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So there you have Mary's response in a song. And from that, there are three things I want to pull out from that. The first thing is that you can see that Mary responds to God with humble faith. See, Mary believed that God would do great things through her. In the text we just read, it says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary believed that she would be the mother of the Messiah, even though it seemed unbelievable to her. Even though it seemed impossible, she had faith in God. And so she trusted that it would take place. And she had faith that God would accomplish that. The second thing is that Mary responded to all of this, not just with humble faith, but also with humble obedience. As you read through her songs, you can tell that Mary wasn't resisting what God was doing. Instead, she calls herself God's servant. Mary was going to obey and walk the road that had been placed in front of her. And finally, the third thing is that as she thought about this, Mary also responded with joy. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She was happy that God had chosen her, a small and insignificant person, to do such a great thing. Now I wish that at times I could respond just like Mary does when God presents me with a challenge. You see, when God turns your life upside down and he asks you to do something for him, how do you respond? With humble faith? Or do you say to God, "God, I don't think you know what you're doing. I think you're wrong on this one here, God." You see, when God turns your life upside down and he asks you to do things for him, do you respond with humble obedience? Or do you say, "No, God, I don't think so. I'm not going to cooperate with you on this." And much like Jonah, you decide to go in the other direction. See, when God turns your life upside down and he asks you to do something for him, do you respond with joy like Mary did? Or do you complain and grumble and moan and whine? You see, when we look at Mary's life and how Mary responded when God turned her life upside down, we're humbled because we realize that we sin. We doubt, we resist, we complain. We come up with reasons why somebody else would be better suited for the task. But did you know that our God, he is a God that loves sinners? He came to Mary not because she was so perfect, but purely out of his grace and his mercy. And that same God comes to us, each and every one of us. Mary called God her Savior, and he is your Savior too. God did great things through Mary, and God can also do great things for you and through you. Instead of condemning you for your sins, God sends his Son who takes away your sins. Instead of condemning you, God has mercy on you, and he forgives you, just as he had mercy on Mary. In the Olympics, one of the events that I find the most interesting, it's actually in the Summer Olympics. It's called the decathlon. Each athlete in the decathlon competes in 10 different events over a 2-day period. The very first day, the events are the 100-meter dash, the long jump, the shot put, the high jump, and the 400-meter run. And on the second day, if somehow that wasn't enough, the second day's events are the 110-meter high hurdles, about that high. The discus, the pole vault, the javelin, and the 10th event, if you can make it, is the 100-meter run. No, the 1,500-meter run, which is basically a mile. 4 laps around a regular track. 10 different events. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having to compete in all 10 different events? See, you have to excel in all of those different aspects in order to win the gold medal. Do you know that when Jesus was here, he had to excel in all different kinds of events in order to win for us our salvation? Just think about it. He had to fulfill all the messianic prophecies from the Old Testament perfectly. People say anywhere between 300 and 350, probably about 350 messianic prophecies. Now, I was working with Erin. I was hoping she'd be in here, but she's in children's church right now. In order to fulfill just 8 of them, what you need to do is on the piece of paper that you have is to write a 1. And then after that, follow it by 31 zeros. And that's the odds of one person being able to fulfill just 8 of the prophecies. Imagine, I can't even get that far out. Imagine how far it would be out if you had to fulfill all 350 of them. Now that figure, that one with the 31 zeros after it, is 10 octillion, is what it's called. Yeah, it's just a wow factor. I was looking at there, try it sometime. Just write a 1 and then put 31 zeros after it. See, Jesus had to fulfill all of that. But more than that, he had to keep the 10 commandments perfectly. He had to teach and train his disciples. I'd have given up right there. He had to teach to the unbelievers in first century Palestine. He had to endure all the sufferings of the cross as a sacrifice for your sins. And to top it all off, he had to die and then rise again from the dead. All of that stuff there, Jesus had to do. And so much more. It makes the decathlon seem like a real small event. Those are just some of the things that God has done for each and every one of us. That Mary sings about in her song. See, God has done great things for you. And trusting in that God, that Messiah, that is where Mary found the strength and the courage that she needed in order to move forward and to walk this road that God had placed before her as the future mother of the Christ. Ultimately, what actually happened was God turned Mary into a person that she had never, ever planned to be. Someone that all generations would call blessed. And if you were to ask Mary if she would change anything, I'm sure she'd answer no. God turned her life upside down, and he asked this small peasant girl to do some big things for him. But God also gave her the faith and the strength to obey, and the joy as she carried out God's plan. Now, if you had asked me back some, 20, 30 years ago, when I was in junior high, in high school, when I first became a Christian, if someday I'd ever be standing up on an altar here, preaching in front of a congregation, I'd have said, no way. Lisa would agree with you on that one, probably. See, I don't like getting in front of people. I don't like talking to people. I'm an introvert. This isn't what I do. But see, God has placed a challenge in front of me. And so I'm here in faith and obedience and trusting God that He'll lead me as I go. Yeah. Even more than that, you're all still sitting here. See, and it's just walking by faith and trusting God and having the obedience. And when God gives you something to do, He'll be with you through all of it. He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. He will walk with us, and He's molding each and every one of us and shaping us into what He knows we can be. So remember this as we close up. When God challenges you, when God turns your life upside down, and I guarantee somewhere along the line, if He hasn't done it yet, He is going to do it. See, God loves to ask people to do things for Him. And when God does that to you, remember this. Remember that He will always give you the faith and the courage and the joy to carry out His plan in your life. Ultimately, God is working on you, turning you, each one of us, into the person that we had never planned to be. That's how God works. And may He bless you. Bless you as you walk that road and as you are faithful to doing what He asks you to do. Just as He blessed and He surprised this peasant girl Mary so many, many years ago.